today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back.
Piety and people is molecular. It constructs rather than actual complete human beings. It's quite fascinating to me in a way. It might bore you, but it's fascinating to me. Yeah, Julian Huxley, it's astonishing all the things he's been involved in. Absolutely. Julian Huxley and the continuity of eugenics in 20th century Britain. Very good article. And this is the life and ideas of Julian Sorrell Huxley. Represent not only considerable contributions to evolutionary theory, but also to eugenics, thought and social planning.
We wanted a little bit more than that. But anyway, that's Alan Watt this past weekend. There's more. We'll come back to that. Technology should be a concern. You know, I was saying yesterday, things we can do. Everyone's busy. And, you know, is there anything inherently wrong with sporting events? No, not necessarily. I mean, there are some psychological elements that might not be healthy. you know. And I'll leave that at that. But generally speaking, all things being equal, shall we say, no, there's nothing particularly wrong with sporting events. It is a little weird, though, when you start paying grown men obscene amounts to play a child's game. That starts to get weird, don't you think? Especially in an ostensibly enlightened and civilized society. You know, we're so much smarter. We're so much... Well, that's... Not only is that not enlightened, that seems to harken back to an era of history that is particularly beguiling, if you will. You know, bread and circuses. Great way to keep people distracted. Speaking of Julian Huxley, the Fabian Socialist, etc., you know, George Orwell, or excuse me, H.G. Wells, I think, coined the term technocracy really sort of officially, didn't he? In the 30s. Or brought it into vogue, maybe, or into public consciousness in a way. It is a term that dates back to antiquity, but I mean, you know, in the popularized incarnation in the modern era, H.G. Wells announced it, shall we say, maybe. And the difference was that, you know, in this new era of control, scientific dictatorship, where the religious establishment in the past couldn't give people enough miracles and, you know, bread and circuses, now the scientific dictatorship obviously would be able to do that. And that's why you see this, you know, that's a big reason why you see this push. I mean, there's a continuity of effort. There are video games, but there's also, you know, DARPA, DOD, and friends that are helping video game makers. I mean, you see, speaking of Spokane, I remember, going on 10 years ago, video game makers looking at Spokane, and they're, you know, these people that aren't particularly talented, don't have any sort of background, and they're looking at essentially Defense Department grants to make video games to the tune of millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Where's it coming from? And so, you know, converting office space in downtown Spokane, I saw one of the offices, for example, you know, just wondering where is the funding coming from? It doesn't seem like there's anything, you know, back of this, anything substantial or legitimate. I mean, who would do that? Who would invest millions and millions of dollars just to have some people goof around and see if they can make something? Or, you know, the augmented reality stuff that's out in, speaking of Spokane, that's out in Liberty Lake. What is the name of that company? I can't remember. And you see these kinds of things around. Where is the impetus coming from, you know? Augmented reality, it's going to be the greatest, really? In Spokane? Where are you guys going to sell this stuff? Who's talking about it? Nobody I know is really just, man, artificial, you know, or excuse me, augmented reality, you know, it's going to be so cool. Jaron Lanier talks about virtual graffiti in the 70s. We could stick little notes on the tree outside your house so that when you back out of your driveway in the morning and go to work, you know, maybe it's a time stamped message, you know, Monday morning you get a message, hey Bob, hey Phil, have a great day. That's old technology, and it still hasn't caught on. Why do you suppose that is? Anyway, there should be concerns. We think we're free. They thought they were free. That's an echo from history. But who's driving this crazy bus? Speaking of reading lists, a couple of things. I mentioned Richard Grove's Tragedy and Hope, tragedyandhope.com. Back in August of 2017, he published the Anglo-American Establishment, a PhD level reading list by Kevin Cole. It's interesting. If you're there, I think that a lot of the folks who listen to this broadcast probably are pretty well read. That's an interesting list. A lot of books, that's Kevin Cole's list. A lot of books that are off the beaten path, the well-worn path. Though, you know, Tragedy and Hope, Anglo-American Establishment, The Evolution of Civilizations are all, those are the top three. You know, Builders of Empire, Freemasons, and British Imperialism, 1717 to 1927 by Jessica Harlan Jacobs. Civitas Dei by Lionel Curtis. And lots more. You can check that out if you're interested. Stan Monteith's books over at Radio Liberty. I mentioned that yesterday. There are a lot of familiar names there and others not so familiar. That's, you know, it's interesting. Kind of weaving through, you know, the conspiracy is not a right or left kind of a thing. You know, as bad guys have intimated from time to time, they cooperate with whomever and whatever is useful. So speaking of that and the Fabian Socialists, I want to maybe dive into that a little bit for a minute. You know, and before I move away, and you know, one of the things I was hinting at is these plane crashes lately. There are quite a few plane crashes, actually. I mean, there's the Ethiopian Airlines crash, the Indonesia crash 5 months before that, a couple of Boeing 737 MAX 8s. Oh my goodness, maybe we need to ground them. They experience the same problems, and you see this. It's not just them. But others, you know, CBS News, February 24th, two bodies recovered in Texas cargo plane crash. Surveillance video shows steep descent, quote unquote, NTSB says. And that's what the that's what happened. Eyewitnesses said the same thing about the Ethiopian Air 737 crash. And, you know, I'm sure it's just a coincidence that there were, what, 21 UN dignitaries, young upstarts, firebrands, you might say, a few of them, want to change the world. That was even in the CBS News coverage. Which, you know, I don't know, to me, an archetypal example is like, you know, a Dag Hammarskjöld, for example. What happened? You know, stuff happens. We don't ask enough questions. Who's on that flight? Did 158 or something like that people die? You know, did 157 others die, or did 155 die because of a few? Were, you know, was the real conspiracy hidden in the bushel somewhere? Probably. Nobody cares. Nobody has time. We're all busy, right? Here's another story. These are all CBS News. Third body recovered in deadly Amazon cargo plane crash. As crews continue to search a bay off South Texas for clues as to how a Boeing 767 cargo plane nosedived into shallow water, the cadaver dog found the remains of the third and final victim of the doomed flight. So another archetypal example, I guess, maybe. Philip Marshall. You know, it's a 767 cargo plane. Philip Marshall, you know, Barry Seal, Mina, America, you know, Air America, that kind of thing. What happened? Everything's fine except, you know, there. It's always the same sort of scenario. The pilot said we're having problems, and then the plane seems to begin to experience erratic flight, and then suddenly it nosedives. And, you know, if you go back to some of the 9/11 video investigation and, you know, other, I can't remember the most recent one that I saw, but, you know, just investigating these plane crashes, if your instrumentation can be messed with and, you think you're flying one way and suddenly you're in a, nosedive that you can't pull out of at a fairly low altitude, that seems to be a common theme in these plane crashes. Do we ask questions about these? It's kind of strange, you know, the Ethiopian Air crash in particular. There was a video that CBS News ran early this morning with what's-her-name, who's been doing all of the their little investigative pieces. She's on the ground. I forget her name. Deborah something, right? Another one of the folks, you know, a woman with a British accent. So we'll believe anything she says, right? No offense to ladies with British accents, but, you know, that's part of the PSYOP. She says it in a very authoritative British accent, and therefore, you know, it's just matter of fact. And so we believe everything we hear. Don't even question it. March 1, one dead in Banner plane crash in Fort Lauderdale. That's another one. And, what to know? I thought that was an interesting headline. What to know about the Boeing 737 MAX 8, the plane that's crashed twice in 5 months? Well, what to know about it is that sometimes it carries, you know, dignitaries, sometimes groups of them that maybe, you know, should travel separately. I don't know. And then, you know, there are other examples. Obviously, to me, because of the UN connection, Dag Hammarskjöld is an example. You know, Congressman Larry McDonald, Flight 007, that's another one. There are several. Two men say they missed deadly Ethiopian Airlines flight. And that was sort of an interesting story. I wonder why we hear so much about that. First it was one guy, then it was two. Senators call for grounding of Boeing 737 MAX 8 after Ethiopia crash. But senators, that won't keep you safe. So, and, you know, speaking of what I was talking about before, and, you know, by the way, the latest announcement on that today is FAA will order Boeing to upgrade safety software on a 737 MAX 8s, Boeing says. So, Richard Blumenthal, Dianne Feinstein, Mitt Romney, and, you know, what did I say, 24, according to, if Price's Law is right, who are we hearing from? You know, that's three of the 24. Elizabeth Warren, so, you know, less than a handful. Stick around, we'll be right back. We'll go to the phones after the short break.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back.
No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define.
Welcome back.
Owl-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse. Assail him, impale him with monster truck force.
Welcome back. I want to get back to the
grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing.
I want to get back to the Fabian Society in a minute. You know, that's an interesting discussion. The Fabian Society, founded on 4 January 1884 in London, an offshoot of a society founded a year earlier called the Fellowship of the New Life. Which is interesting. You know, and then you look at the founding members. disturbing. Again, it's stuff you can't read on air. They wanted to transform society by setting an example of clean, simplified living for others to follow. Right. You know what? I'll read it. We'll come back to this, but we'll go to the phones. But listen to this. So early fellowship members included the visionary Victorian elite, among them poets Edward Carpenter, John Davidson, sexologist Havelock Ellis, and early socialist Edward R. Peace. I apologize, but that's what it says. And then this oxymoronic statement. They wanted to transform society by setting an example of clean, simplified living for others to follow. Is that not an oxymoron? Is that not obviously just a blatant sort of oxymoron? Some members also wanted to become politically involved to aid society's transformation. I don't know about you, but people like that, that I would consider mentally disturbed, I don't want to transform my society. They set up a separate society, the Fabian Society. All members were free to attend both societies. Fabian Society additionally advocated renewal of Western European Renaissance ideas and their promulgation throughout the world. Then it gets into, you know, named at the suggestion of Frank Podmore in honor of the Roman general Quintus Fabius Maximus Verrucasus, nicknamed Cunctator, meaning delayer. The Fabian strategy sought gradual victory against the superior Carthaginian army under the renowned general Hannibal through persistence, harassment, and wearing the enemy down by attrition rather than pitched climactic battles. People understand. So then you go look at who Fabius was. You know, the originator of many tactics used in guerrilla warfare. Huh, what a coincidence. Anyway, to the phones we go. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, John.
You mentioned a couple of things, augmented reality. Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm 61. My whole life has been lived in an augmented reality, in a non-real reality. You think about it. And then you mentioned a little bit earlier about, well, there's nothing inherently wrong with sports, football, baseball, whatnot. And every young man's dream, Chris, when I was a boy, I wanted to play, Major League Baseball. And I wanted to play basketball. And I wanted to play football. Until we realized, where'd the games come from? Who invented those games?
Right.
Why, look at the referees and the umpires. Look at the hand signals they're throwing around. You see similarities to other secret societies, groups, arm signals, hand signals, and football relating to Freemasonry. Even the diamond, even the number of players, even the yards on a football field. It's all a cult. And it's designed to keep us, I believe, entertained. I call it entertaining yourself to death.
Yeah.
paying millions and millions and millions of dollars. Remember 1990, baseball went on strike. Detroit Tiger player was making $7.5 million a year playing a child's game. Went on strike because that wasn't enough money.
Yeah.
That's when I made the break from baseball. From football, from basketball, and I thought, well, I've always got hockey. Hockey will never go on strike for not enough money because they love playing the game. And hockey went on strike for more money. I don't know how to put it in proper perspective. Then you're talking about air crashes, and I hear the music.
Yeah, stick around. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Speaking of games, sport, games, exercise, and all of that, I agree with Jefferson. I mentioned it many times, but in that letter to his nephew, Peter Carr, Dear Peter, August 19, 1785, what did Jefferson advocate? What did he advise for exercise? A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercise, I advise the gun. While this gives a moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be the constant companion of your walks, never thinking of taking a book with you. The object of walking is to relax the mind. You should therefore not permit yourself even to think while you walk, but divert your attention by the objects surrounding you. Walking is the best possible exercise. So there you go. I mean, walking with a firearm. And he recommended the gun. I advise the gun. While this gives a moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. And it's an interesting letter, by the way, beyond that. Very interesting, and it's a sort of window into a coming of age. You know, the Jeffersonian perspective on a coming of age for his nephew Peter Carr. It's what Jefferson might advise for any young man coming of age, you might say. And so in this society that is predominated by neoteny, it's an interesting look into a bygone era and a particularly Jeffersonian perspective on it. And, you know, as far as education is concerned, I'll go back to the general diffusion of knowledge, his bill, Jefferson's bill. And what did he say in the bill? You know, I mean, we have these arguments, socialist arguments for free education. Is it a good thing? Jefferson said, sure, free education for how long? 2 or 3 years. I think 3 years max is what it was. And people would say, oh, well, but, you know, there's so much more to know these days. Not really. You know, you can pay for that beyond the 2 or 3 years free education, like Jefferson advocated, but you can get everything you need to know. You know, reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that good stuff. And it's probably better not to go beyond that in the formal environment, because then you get into the herd think stuff. So social conformity and all of that nonsense. Anyway, we're on the phones. John, you were talking about the crashes that I mentioned earlier.
Well, I wanna go back to sports for a minute, because you provoked my mind. You know, when you go watch a game, Chris, where do you go? You go to the arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
You file into the arena. Well, what else goes besides the Roman Colosseum, which was an arena? You take cattle into an arena. You know, you herd them. So you all pay your, when I was a boy, $1 for a bleacher seat to a ball game in Detroit. So you pay your $1. You go into the sports arena, and you listen to people become animalistic, yelling things like, knock his head off, kill him, destroy him. And you've got not just one person, but you've got, at that time, 30,000 people in a ball stadium that are living a alternate reality, an augmented reality, watching people play a game that they dream that it's them on third base. I was a boy. I dreamt that I played right field. You know, Al Kaline was my buddy. I knew Al Kaline, although I never met him. So here you augment your reality, you play the game, you grow up with the dream that someday that could be you. And then you go into the hockey arena and you watch fights. You know, one of my favorite sayings when I was a kid, I went to a hockey game and, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. It was all about seeing the guys beat one another, or clip one another, or high-stick one another, or throw the gloves off. That's why you win. Yeah, the game was cool. The game was fun. But it's appealing to your animal side. And we're saying things like, kill them. The whole crowd yelling, kill them. You're cursing. But it's all in fun. It's just a game. Except that words mean things, and words have power. Now, back to the crashes. Isn't it interesting that whether it's an airplane crash or a tractor falling on you in the barn, or a preacher like Lester Roloff, who ran a girls' home in Corpus Christi, Texas. Wait a minute, what does that mean, Corpus Christi? The body of Christ or the eye of Christ, Texas, that was helping young girls that were in trouble, had been flying all his life and had won a court battle with state of Texas saying he didn't have to have a license, and he dies in a plane crash that he's flying. So you're flying this plane you land it on the field, and you don't think anybody's going to do anything untoward to your aircraft. That's your aircraft. Fill it up, buddy, check the oil, and you do your pre-trip, and then you crash. You fly into a mountain, or you go straight down because you're battling this beast, and you've actually had a victory against the beast, against the evil one, and you must die. Now, that sounds outrageous, but that's what it amounts to. Just like Traficant and his tractor, or, you know, the anyway, I'll leave it at that. But listen, games, NASCAR, what is that? You drive around in a circle, kind of like a chariot race, kind of like modern-day Rome, and you love to watch the crashes. Hopefully no one dies, but someone dies. What do? Continue the race. Something is wrong, Chris. And we know what it is.
You go back 50 years, you watch some of the old Western TV shows, you know, like, oh gosh, help me out. You know, like Gunsmoke or Bonanza or the Virginian.
Get this. Wanted, dead or alive. Or have guns. Will travel.
Yeah.
What?
Well,
everyone wanted to be a cowboy.
Well, you know, or Death Valley Days or things like that. You watch the, or Wagon Train, any of those shows, you watch these old shows, and by contrast, in the fashion of civility and decency, I would say, you know, you see the wagon train stop. There are, you know, there are the lookouts that go ahead, and if they happen upon dead bodies, for example, they stop the wagon train so that the women and children don't see that stuff.
Well,
and men were presumed to do that kind of thing in a bygone era.
But it's become a perversion, and even in the old 1950s and 60s Westerns that you brought up, there was there was some truth in that. I think it might have been the Virginian. There was an episode where he stumbled across the Mayan king, and they were basically holding him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some truth in that, folks, and it makes a good story. But if you understand history, it again, even then, it was predictive programming in a way, because at that time, your average person, whether it was American or European or Asian, would not tolerate it. They'd say, what is this doing? They'd change the channel, or they'd pull the plug.
Yep.
Some people knew then that it was the devil's box. It was a hell alive vision.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll make room. Thank you, Chris.
You bet. Thanks, John. Appreciate it, as always. Absolutely. And we should be going back that direction. People don't realize that, you know, getting back to the Fabian Socialists and the Fabian Society, that incremental strategy. You know, I've mentioned a few times recently who has a wolf in a sheep suit as their mascot. That was George Bernard Shaw's idea, history tells us. We'll make the sheep, or the wolf in the sheep suit, our mascot, and we want to conquer society by slow increments, by degrees, essentially, which is a devilish strategy. And people don't realize the erosion of culture. I have lately been thinking of ways that maybe we can help people fall in love with their local community and their local traditions, their family traditions, and things like that. We're losing all of that. It's being eroded and eviscerated in this war of attrition by slow incremental operations in Fabian fashion. And people don't even realize it. And we need to look back. You know, that's the concept of repentance. You realize maybe you're not on a good course, and so you turn back, or you turn away from the impetus that is not, it's not good, it's doing you harm, actually. And you know, just a quick side note on that. Yesterday, when I was talking about the marches and things, you know, I think it would be interesting. What if people showed up at these events, these, you know, crowds on demand styled color revolutionary events with, you know, signs that had a photograph of or a screenshot of the Crowds on Demand homepage, you know, your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events, services available nationwide. You know, if that was stuck on a sign, along with some signs with hashtags like Operation Gladio, Operation Gladio B, Strategy Attention, Known Wolf on signs, and just milled silently among the bust-in Crowds on Demand. What do you suppose the local or national establishment media contingent would do then? You know, if every time a camera was trying to interview a plant, an operative, you know, someone with one of those signs, you know, Crowds on Demand just walked behind and listened to the interview. That sign was always ever present. Or Strategy of Tension, hashtag Strategy of Tension was always in view, in camera view. I think it'd be interesting. Back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
I was looking at your previous caller. Have Done Will Travel was basically like a detective show, private detective show before today. You know what I mean? It was a Western, you know, because the guy ended up being basically like the good guy detective. You know, mm-hmm. kind of like Leverage or something. You know, you have shows today like Leverage. It's a bunch of ex-cons. Functioning as vigilantes to take out bad guys, you know.
Well, but I think that, you know, there's an element, I, you know, as always, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think that's part of what, if I understand what you're saying, or maybe it's just in my own mind, I think that's part of what John was saying. You know, you have the sort of esoteric homage with, you know, Richard Boone as Paladin, the knight, the, you know, he's the guy dressed in black, the black hat is right. Actually the good guy kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't want to credit them with too much sophistication. Like, you know, certainly the programming of the public mind goes back to ancient Greek plays, you know, or the Roman plays, but everyone, including the house servants, was required to go to the morality place and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, they're trying to program us, but, you know, I guess because we see black and white TV as a simpler age, a simpler day, I'm sure some of that psychology was there, but it's really morphed into a malignant, metastatic mess now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious in the way I would put that in my own vernacular is that, you know, we played that clip of the Rifleman last week, and the bad guys are saying they're admitting that they're bad and they know what they're doing is bad. And now, by contrast, you know, we have the announcements from Amazon, the announcement from Facebook, and all of the, you know, crime drama shows that are on television, and essentially the ostensibly good guys are bad guys too. Everybody's bad. So the bad guys used to be good on those shows. They would basically say, you know, well, what we're doing is wrong. And when confronted, oftentimes they'd say, okay, you know what? This is wrong. Can't do this. Got to make peace with my maker kind of thing. And today, that's the opposite of that.
And I'd have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those pesky kids and that dog.
Right. Right.
But anyway,
and the, you know, really so you it. Skip forward from that Scooby-Doo homage to SNL's satirizing of Michael Cohen's congressional testimony and him saying, you know, I knew it was wrong because I got caught, you know, so anyway.
Pretty felonies a day. But anyway.
Right.
But actually, what I really called about was the airplanes. There's 767 MAX 8, is that it? Isn't that it?
37, I believe. Is it? Or the 767 is a car? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but what this kind of reminds me of, I'm picturing electronics come into the picture. I'm remembering back when I went into ROTC and the Air Force ROTC in the late 70s, and the F-16 was all the rage, or at least they wanted it to be all the rage. It was sort of almost becoming the F-35 of its day, because it was a single-engine, you know, fighter, as for the air superiority fighter, and but they called it the Lawn Dart because it was the first fighter with fly-by-wire controls.
Yeah, and history proved, it seems, that it wasn't quite as advanced as we were led to believe. And that's actually an interesting sub-story. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Chose man to make me.
Welcome back. We're on the phones, Glenn and Philly. Go ahead.
Yeah, back in the late 70s at the time, Air Force selected the F-16 because it was cheaper. The Navy and the Marines went with the F-18 Hornet, which then later became the Super Hornet, and that's still in service very well today. As the F-16s are in service, they supposedly overcame those problems, you know, I'd be flying along and lightning in the area would use EMS and the wiring harness, and all of a sudden this plane was out of control. Well, I'm wondering, I'm suspecting that a lot of these passenger jets probably, I'm wondering if there's a similar situation here where they're having electric problems with the control surfaces, you know.
Yeah.
These planes just, I saw, I think it was an FAA official talking about this, or somebody on the news yesterday, and he was saying, you know, that these planes all need to be grounded until they figure out what's wrong. You know, and they mention was made of software, requirements of, software upgrades or something. And it's like, if we've come to the point where, you know, some programmer having a bad day put a hyphen where he should have put a semicolon or something and you're going to die, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there are checks and balances in software to mitigate those kinds of things, but
I'm wondering if it's electronic. And Stuxnet also comes to mind with the controllers for the for the power plant. You know, here you can have with this thing in Venezuela with the problem with the hydroelectric power plant, you know, and it's like right at the time when, you know, certain nations had designs on overthrowing that government. And that makes you wonder if somebody didn't slip a little unauthorized software into the controllers for the hydroelectric plant or something.
Yeah. Well, that talk that I mentioned, Larry Ellison's talk from 2015, the Business Insider article. I'll finish that thought on the other side of this break. Stick around, folks. Third hour coming up right after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.